Amen. Well, good morning. We are just 2 weeks from Easter now, and we are in week five of our series about lessons from the Bible in a year. And if you're a follower of Jesus and in His Word on a daily basis, you know that you learn something new every day. The Bible says God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Let me encourage you this morning. If you have a great devotional life, wonderful. If you don't, it is not too late to start. You can start doing the Old Testament, New Testament, or both. The April Daily Guides are in the Visitor Center. Pick one up. Let me tell you, as believers and as human beings, the Word of God is the best way to ensure, even in the trials of this life, not only abundance now and God's blessings now, but eternal life forever. If you're a follower of Jesus, a Christian this morning, we here as a church do not believe you can live separate from the body of Christ, the church. You can't live separate from God's Word, and we can't choose to ignore God's Word. Amen? That's just an absolute truth. God's Word is perfect and infallible, and it is alive and active, and we learn so much from it. And so today, if you have your Bibles or whatever you use, we're going to be in Joshua, chapters 5 through 7. We were in Joshua last week. That's our Old Testament readings right now. In the New Testament this week, we're in the Gospel of Luke, which is wonderful as well. But we're going to talk a little more about Joshua. And if you're a believer today, and maybe you've never really been in the book, or you're not familiar with this man's life, an incredible life to study, wonderful things to learn. Joshua, of course, was real. He lived about 3,300 years ago. He was Moses' assistant. He was a very major figure in the Exodus. He was a commander in the Israeli army. He went with Moses to get the Ten Commandments. And God blessed Joshua with invincibility. Wouldn't that be cool, right? But you guys know, as if you've given your life to Christ, you're invincible. My God promises me that I will never die. This body might experience death, but I never will because of what Jesus did for me. And that is just so wonderful. So I'm going to recap for a couple of minutes, maybe from last week, or if you're not familiar with the story, that's fine. The children of Israel, God's children, they've been delivered from slavery, from Egypt. God had parted the Red Sea. They're on their way to the Promised Land, and God now parts the Jordan River so that they can get to the Promised Land. They're camped outside of Jericho, and this is a real city that existed back then. Archaeology, actually, they've discovered the ruins of the city, the walls that came down, all real stuff, of course, and really, really neat. And I want to apply the story of Joshua and these verses, these chapters, to our lives, to your life today, because there's always something to take from God's Word. So God's children here are on their way to the Promised Land, but many of them didn't get to see it because they disobeyed God, they complained, they did all these things, and right now the children of Israel, they're kind of wandering. They're still not not at their Promised Land yet. I liken that to our lives here in this life. We're wanderers. The Bible says we're pilgrims. And let me remind you, just to lay a foundation for today, this life, this world, your career, your home, your finances, all this stuff, guys, this isn't it. Our home is in heaven with the Lord. And we must remember that as we live our lives, as we intake God's Word, we must remember this isn't it. And by putting too much focus on this life, we're going to miss out. We can even miss out getting to heaven, let alone living in God's best now. So if you remember, they were getting close to the Promised Land. This is when Moses was still alive. They sent out a bunch of spies, and a bunch of them came back and had complaints. Oh, we can't do this because, and we can't get to the Promised Land. They were complainers. They had excuses. But Joshua, if you remember, Caleb as well, but Joshua was different. Joshua was a man who trusted God. Joshua was positive. Joshua was a can-do kind of guy. And if you remember, God, the children of Israel, like is our human nature, again, they were complainers. Many of them never got to the Promised Land. A whole generation or two died out because they didn't trust God. And this is, if we're not careful, we can kind of be like them. We can be so negative. We can have so many doubts. We can get so focused on right now and our lives and today and what we want. Or we can get off in sin that we can forget that our Promised Land is heaven. We can be so successful. We can have so many great things in our life that we're so comfortable and we're in control and we're living how we want that we can forget that, again, our Promised Land is not Disney World. It's not the mall. It's not the new car or the bar or the person or the job or whatever it is, or the kids or grandkids. Our Promised Land is heaven. Our promise is God's presence and glory unimaginable for all of eternity. And this life can distract us and keep us from getting there if we're not careful. Joshua was a man whose life reminds us that if we trust God and we obey and we listen to God, God will bless and God will guide. So we're going to be in Joshua as we begin to transition into our text, 5, 6, and 7. And they're the children now of Israel are outside the city of Jericho. And Jericho is a lot like the world. It was determined not to obey God. It was defiant. And Jericho can represent in your life and my life, it can represent an area, it can represent an attitude, it can represent a sin, it can represent all kinds of things. Things that just aren't God's. But you and I as followers of Jesus, we can't keep things back from God and expect his goodness and his abundance and his blessings. And ultimately, we can't keep ourselves from him. The only way to get to heaven, the only way to be saved from hell is to say yes to God's love and give him our hearts and our lives, for you to give him your heart and your life. And as we prepare to get into our text, I just want to ask you this morning, how are you living your life? Is it your way or is it the Lord's way? And don't say kind of both, because that doesn't work. You either are putting the Lord first in your life, in your finances, in your family, in your marriage, in everything you do, or he's not. And he loves you. He wants the best for you. But be careful that the enemy doesn't get into your life with his lies and you think that you're just cruising on home. Because you have a call on your life and it involves obeying the Lord. It involves being in his word. It involves being part of his church. It involves making church a priority. Don't think we can do whatever we want and skate into church every few weeks and not forgive people and kind of just, oh, sin here, sin there. God's a God of grace. He is. He's also a God of truth and judgment because he loves you. That's why his word is so important. It's for our good. It's for our own good. Let's get into our text this morning of God's word. Joshua 6, 1 through 5. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. No one went out and no one came in. But the Lord said to Joshua, see, I've given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. Now the first thing, if you read this and you're not familiar with this, it's like, so God wants them to like go on a walk and then shout. Why don't they just like take their swords or their like big things and shoot the cannons and tear down the walls? Well, we'll get to why not in a minute. But before we do, let's, as we prepare to get into our text, God knew that his people needed this victory over Jericho, okay? And for some of you today, you've got areas of your life that need to be given to God and that you need victory in, okay? And let me just tell you this morning, let me set the foundation again that we are talking in terms of eternity. Okay, that's the most important thing. So if you're here this morning and you've not said yes to Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've not confessed and turned from your sins, you've not been baptized, that's the victory you need. God says, don't worry so much about what can happen in this life. Worry about he who's able to destroy both body and soul in hell for all of eternity. So if you're here this morning, God loves you, and before you leave today, you can make that decision to be saved for all of eternity because of what Jesus did for you. You don't have to wait till Easter. You can do it today. But for all of us, we should remember to live every day again with an eternal perspective that this is not our promised land. This is not our promised land. We must wait. We must be patient. We must wait on the Lord. And so what we want to do is when you read this passage, our human nature is to be like, why do I have to march 7 days and why do I have to shout? Why do I have to do all that? Why can't God just give me the victory or answer the prayer right now? Well, I'll tell you why. And we have 4 points for today. And the first point is this. Is because God doesn't have to make sense to you and I, because he's God. Our job is to trust and obey him. God doesn't always have to make sense, guys. Your job is to obey him. Man, I have seen God do incredible, wonderful, miraculous things, and there's still things I'm like, why? What are we waiting on here? But I'll tell you this, God is faithful, God is good, God loves me, he knows what he's doing. I mean, why march 7 days? Why shout? That doesn't make any sense. And so for some of you, some of the word, when it talks about, you know, why do I have to forgive people? People are horrible. Why do I have to tithe? Why do I have to, what's this about coming to church and serving? And why can't I just keep kind of doing my thing? I'm a pretty good person. Because God deserves better men and women from you and I. And when it comes to not always understanding God's ways, let's look at what the Bible says. The Bible reminds us in Isaiah that God's thoughts are not our thoughts, neither are his ways our ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are his ways and thoughts higher than yours and mine. We have got to stop thinking that we're smart, we're in control, we've got it all together, and we got to get back to a little more God is God and trusting him. And what his word says is what's right. And for some of you here today, you got to give back the control of your life to the Lord. You got to get back to your first love. You got to get back to the Lord being the priority in your home and the Word of God being a priority and the church being a priority. Remember what I said? If you weren't here last week, Generation X, Y, and Millennials, I made up a new one for our generation, and this is not age derivative based on age. We are the excuse generation. So many excuses of why we don't come to this and do this and our kids don't come and we don't come, we don't do things. We have so many excuses these days. If that's you, get on your knees. Come on, you are better than that. God's thoughts and ways are higher than ours. We just have to trust and obey him. You know, just as they're always discovering a new planet or a new solar system or a new galaxy that's, if you were traveling at the speed of light, it would take you 100 million years to get there. That is not even close to how much higher God's thoughts and ways are than yours. Amen. And you've got to accept that. I am not that smart, and I'm a horrible God. Man, I can get myself into a mess, but when I follow God's word, life's not always perfect, but it's way better, and it's safe. You know, what matters more than your eternity and than my eternity? And I know that I have to obey God. We don't always have to understand. In our New Testament reading this week, we were in the Gospel of Luke. And if you remember from Luke 5, where Jesus is calling the disciples, they'd been out fishing all night long. So they were tired, they were probably cold, they were hungry, they were all these things. And Jesus is calling them. And remember, Jesus told Simon, he goes, "Hey, why don't you guys cast your nets out one more time?" And Simon was like, "Why? We've been fishing all night and haven't caught a thing." And you know what Simon said? You remember the verse? He said, "But because you said to do it, Lord, we will." And then what happened? They caught so many fish, it almost sunk both boats. Guys, that's where some of you are today. You need to stop saying, "Well, excuse, excuse, excuse," and say, "Lord, you said this, that's enough for me." And watch how God blesses that. Because he will bless that obedience. He will bless that childlike faith. He will bless when you stop thinking you're in control and super smart and you've got these plans for your life and got it all together and say, "Lord, as Jesus prayed, thy will be done." Guys, your lives aren't yours, they are his if you're a Christian. And I think sometimes we need to get back to that simplicity. Because you do have a call on your life. And this goes to our second lesson from this morning. They were outside of Jericho. These walls were up. Is that you have a job to help tear down walls. People like I've never seen before have walls up. They have walls up about all kinds of things, but really about religion and about Christianity. I was at the youth center this week one day, and a guy stopped by and out of the blue, and just we started a conversation. And he's like, "Hey, what is this here?" He said, "This is a government thing, right?" I'm like, no, this is our church. Here's what we're doing." And as soon as he heard church, he goes, "Oh, so you're going to try to shove religion down the kids' throats, huh?" This was a conversation I had. And I'm like, oh boy, here we go. My flesh wants to say some unkind things, but that's not what we're here for. So we started a conversation, and I kind of got into it. I won't bore you with all the details. And he's like, "Oh, so you guys are going to like stop every hour and make them pray or something, right?" And here's the point of me telling you that story. That's where the world is right now. That's what people think of church. That's what they think of you and I. That's oftentimes what we think of each other. We look at the pastor or you look at you and say, "Man, you don't have it all together. What kind of, I don't know about all this." The walls are up. And we as believers shouldn't have walls up. We're supposed to be living in the light. But the world, guys, is farther than ever before about the misconceptions they have about God and about them being loved. And a lot of that's our fault because we're not diligent enough. In verse 12, it talks about Joshua rose early in the morning and the priests, they took the Ark of the Covenant. Now, if you work a late shift, listen, I'm stereotyping here. You're probably a super hard worker. But I always associate getting up early in the morning with hard work, with diligence. That's why I always say it's so important you start your day in the Word. You start your day in prayer. That you start your day that way. But guys, we can't expect to be lazy about studying God's word, about being in church, about being involved in church, etc., and expect to be fruitful. They circled the wall for 7 straight days. You don't think that back then, when they didn't have drive-thrus and refrigerators and comfortable Nike shoes, you don't think that day 2, 3, 4, these people were going, why do I have to keep walking? My back hurts. Because they were so concerned with obeying God. How concerned are you with obeying God in your life? Because if you'll get concerned with it, He will bless you. That is a promise from His Word and a promise I've seen over and over and over again. People have walls up of hurt, of pride, of sin, of unforgiveness, you name it, whatever it is, and we have got to love them better. We've got to get rid of our own agendas and all of our own stuff, and we've got to love them better. Matthew 18, Jesus talks about us being like little children, innocent, without agendas, without being so concerned about ourselves, and just have that kind of faith that says, my job is to love people. My job is to help bring down walls. And your job, you can do that when you are serious and diligent about your faith. And 1 Corinthians kind of speaks to this. It says, to the weak I became weak, Paul writes, to win the weak. I become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. Do you not know that in a race everybody runs, but only one runs to get the prize? Run in that kind of way. For everyone competes. They're trying to get a crown. We're trying to get a crown that will last forever, eternal life, unimaginable joy and an eternity with God and with each other that's just beyond your wildest dreams. And so let me ask you this morning, is your best effort in life being put into what? More pleasure? More money? Your relationships? Your kids, your job, your promotion? Or is it being put into being the best disciple and follower of Jesus you can be? Because I got to tell you, if you read this morning, trying to become weak, all things to all people, but you're like, I'm not inviting my neighbors. Forget that. There's something wrong with you. Now, I'm not trying to be, listen, but especially you're a Christian and you read this and you're like, yeah, I still don't really want to invite my neighbors. That's weird. Man, you better get on your knees. I'm serious. All things to all people. We're trying to win eternal life. We're trying to follow Jesus. We've got to be serious about our faith. And for some, I know here today, God still loves you. It's okay. But today's probably a great day to do something about it. You're not that serious about your faith right now. And God tells us about when He tells us in His Word that He sets before us blessings and curses and life and death. He says, the Bible, that scripture says, today I set before you. It's a choice. It's a choice how we live our lives. Our third lesson this morning kind of goes along those lines is not only does God want us to tear down walls, to engage people, to see people come to Christ, the question is, are you ready for the opportunity? Are you ready for the things that God wants to do in your life? Because if you're not serious about your faith and walking with Jesus and being in the Word and being in church and being involved, then you're not ready and God can't move. And sometimes God, you might get something good, but God had something way better in store. And the choice is up to you and I. The first most important thing is, if your eternity came today, where would you spend it? I mean, the importance of that is, I don't have the words. I literally don't. But if you've not repented from your sins and accepted Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life, don't leave today until you do that. Because what if today was your last day? That's the first thing to be ready for. If you're a Christian this morning, what about the opportunities where God wants to use you? Have you put off your old self and put on the new self, being clothed with Christ? The Bible tells us as Christians we're supposed to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. So are you growing in your faith? Do you find yourself maturing and not reacting or being as emotional, but do you find yourself listening? Do you find yourself slower to get angry? Are you growing? 1 Corinthians tells us this: when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought that way. I reasoned that way. But when I became a man, I put off that stuff and put it behind me. For some of you, you've been a Christian and been in church for years now. It is time to start growing. It is time to get involved. It's time to stop missing church all the time. It's time to get your kids to Awana. Excuse generation. Well, they don't come because it's time to come. It's time to read the Word in your home. It's time to pray together. It's time to put some of the sins behind you. It's time to stop getting mad all the time. It's time to grow. It's time to be ready for the opportunities and the blessings that God has for you. But if you've been a follower of Jesus for a long time now and you're still on the bottle, it's time to get on and move forward. It's time to put some stuff behind you. That's the season and the calling that God has for us right now. If it's still the same issues you've been dealing with for years and years and years and years, it's time to do something. It's time to fast. It's time to pray. It's time to involve some people to come alongside you and get you through that, so that you can be mature enough for the blessings God wants to give you. This is huge. So often God wants to bless us and promote us and deliver us, but he can't because we won't let him. And if you're a believer, this is something I'll speak to you as well that's very dangerous. If we become apathetic about our faith, oftentimes the enemy will get in and deceive us, and we'll have what we think are life's wonderful blessings and great things, and we're doing all this, and that's just really not where God had us or wanted us to go. You can be going ways in ways that you think are good, but if you're not serious in your relationship with Jesus, it might be a big old lie where the enemy's just looking and laughing. I mean, I lived that for a long time. I was so successful, and life's just great, and the whole time I'm ignoring God and running from God, and that's no way to go and to live your life. It's kind of like with my kids. I mean, so often they miss out on stuff because they just won't listen. They just are willfully disobedient. They just don't want to, you know, I love them. I want the best for them, but I'm not gonna bless you. I'm not going to give you this or do this for you if you just look at me and don't do what I say. I tell you to do something or not do it because it's best for you because I love you. And there we have God's word. And it says, do this, don't do this. And we're like, eh. And ignorance is no defense. Well, I don't know what the word of God says. Then start finding out so you can be blessed by God, so that you can be trustworthy. That's our final point today is, are you trustworthy? Can God trust you with his best? So often we don't live in God's best because we're not trustworthy to he can't really trust us. It's kind of like anybody here that's a channel flipper. My kids always joke in the car, I've never listened to an entire song all the way through, and it's true. I'm always flipping the channel. Same way with the TV. Now, nowadays with DVR, I mean, who watches commercials anymore, right? We just flip and flip and fast forward. Because I think that's kind of become applicable to us spiritually as well. We are so kind of spoiled and comfortable. We want everything our way and easy. And that's not really what Jesus promised. It's not always going to be super easy. But it's our job to be faithful. There are some sitting here today, never, you're in danger of never getting what God wants you to get, or seeing what God wants you to see, or him never using you to reach someone who needs their eternity saved because you refuse to submit to him. You're not trustworthy. God has blessed you with so much and answered so many prayers and been so good to you, but despite all that, you so easily went back to just, yeah, hey, life's good. And we become untrustworthy for God to use us and bless us. I have struggled with this. I will be honest. But I'm not going to struggle with it anymore. I need to be trustworthy. I need to not take for granted all that God has done for me. And some of you, that's the boat you're in today. You're just taking it for granted. This is also hit on in Joshua as they have the victory, as they take Jericho after the seventh time that they shouted and blew the trumpets, and Joshua said, "Shout, for the city is now yours." In 6:18 and 19, it says, "By all means, you will abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take them and make the camp of Israel a curse. But all the silver, the gold, the vessels of bronze, all those great things that have been consecrated, God says you guys can have." But in verse in 7:1, there was a guy named Achan who he didn't care or want to listen to God. He took the things God said not to, so the anger of the Lord burned against them. He couldn't help himself. God had been so good and given so much and done so much, but this guy was like, yeah, whatever, I want to do what I want. And man, if that's you this morning and you are living in sin, you've got sin in your life, you've got areas of your life that are shut off from God, you've got attitudes or bitterness or the pride, the unforgiveness that says, I just don't really care right now. Guys, that is a dangerous spot to be in. There's all kinds of things that fall into that category. I won't even try to do that this morning, but let me tell you, it is dangerous to ignore God. It's dangerous to not be trustworthy. Dan, we're going to close in just a moment or two this morning. I want to use one more verse today from 1 John. You might know the verse. It warns us to not be too in love with the world or the things of the world. Because guys, when the love of the Father is in you, you're going to be more concerned about people than possessions, about church than self, about relationships with other believers than other relationships, about glorifying God with your life than being comfortable. Because we know that's all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of God, but is of the world. And all this world, is, all the stuff, it's all passing away, but when you do God's will, you can live forever. Would you guys stand this morning? I want to ask you a couple questions. Would you guys stand with me, please, and bow your heads? And please bow your heads. Close your eyes. Every set of eyes closed. If you just have one eye, close it too. Heads bowed and eyes closed. This is really serious. Do you need to pray this morning? Have you become apathetic? Are you living in sin? Have you never accepted Jesus? Have you become comfortable? Have you forgotten what God's done? You know, when God parted the Jordan River, this is where God said, take these stones as a remembrance. Some of you today need to remember that God has saved you. You need to remember the blessings. You need to remember what he has done. Sometimes we need to get off our high horse of thinking we're something and remember we are nothing. The Bible says that God will not share his glory, and we shouldn't want any of it. We should be humble and broken that we are sinners saved by God's grace alone. If you're here this morning and you need to be forgiven, you need to pray for something, you need to surrender some things or let some things go, or you need to remember and be more thankful for what God has done for you, you need to have your heart change. You need to make church more of a priority in your life. You need to make your relationship with Jesus, which will cause that to be important to you again. Whatever it is, all the eyes closed, would you slip your hands up this morning? Slip them up. Say, Lord, I need this. Put them down. As we pray, you guys can open your eyes. As we pray in just one moment, we're going to sing one more song. If you need something, prayer for anything, whatever it might be, you can come to the altar. Someone will pray with you. Would you guys, let's pray together before we sing. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I want to pray this morning that, Lord, you would work on our hearts right now, that we would realize it's not about us, it's about you. And that, Lord, we would be careful to be living worthy of the calling in which we've been called, and that's every believer. The Lord, our promised land is heaven. It's not to be just as comfortable as we can right now. It's, Lord, to get home to heaven. It's to bring others with us by how we love them, by how we live our lives. And that, Lord, you bless obedience. And, Lord, disobedience is always going to get us. If it's willful and we're believers, it could be in eternity. If we're apathetic willfully, if we're not in the word willfully, Lord, that you love us, but you're just like a we are with our children. You're loving, but you're like, come on, you gotta listen to me. I want what's best. I love you. And Lord, you love us so much. You sent Jesus to die for our sins. And if there's anyone here this morning, Lord, who right now, Lord, is looking at hell and not heaven, I pray they wouldn't leave today until they've simply said yes to you by coming to the altar, by finding one of the pastors afterwards. This is their eternity we're talking about. So, Lord, I pray you continue to work on our hearts now as we sing in Jesus' name. Amen.